Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey, folks. Welcome into Beyond the Blockchain. Happy to be here with you on another Tuesday night. 106.5. I'm Scott Tindall, joined as always by the Johnny Gwynn. Johnny, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. You know, we're running up on almost 4 years of this now.
Yeah, but I was like the bad spouse. I would go out for cigarettes and not come back for a while.
Yeah, you left for milk for a bit.
Yeah, a bunch
came
of
back when we started
bread.
Kindergarten.
Yeah, but I'm here now, Scott.
Yeah, you've been pretty consistent the past couple of years. We might be closing up on 100 episodes together or more.
Let's get AI to do the tabulating for us, because I don't feel like counting.
It is that type of show. Segment one, we jump into the news.
Yes.
All right. A lot of news, as there is every week. What's going on in the news this week with AI, Johnny?
Okay. You know, everybody keeps saying AI is coming. Oh, yeah. This show always says it's already here. This week, we found it in four places you already were. Your car insurance.
This is pretty interesting.
Your kid's classroom, your doctor's office, and the ads in your social media feeds. And nobody sent you a memo. Now, let's walk through each one of them.
All right.
All right, number one, your car insurance was priced by a robot that didn't explain itself. 9 out of 10 insurances now use AI to set rates, so the insurers are using AI. They're using telematics, which is like plug-in tracking of your driving, connected car data, risk scores through other brokers. And then when your premium jumps at renewal, no human decides it, and they don't have to tell you which behavior triggered it.
Basically, a social credit score, right?
It's a credit score based, I'm guessing, primarily on all the things they had in their, you know, algorithms for your car insurance.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. Look, I imagine that's totally happening. I mean, come on.
There's no way it's not happening.
Yeah. And also, I would imagine, too, is if you're price shopping, it gets you in trouble. You need to talk to, make sure you have an agent. I was going to say independent.
I knew you were.
Make sure you have an agent.
I got a guy in mind.
I have a couple guys in mind. But the idea is at least have a conversation, because there are a lot of people, especially independent agents, that will explain a lot more things and want your business.
Right.
But at least they can help you out with that. And also, they have different options of getting insurance for you, not just a captured character of, like, if you work for State Farm, you can only get State Farm, right?
Right.
So not that I'm getting State Farm is bad or good. I'm just saying it's just a different way of looking at it. So congratulations if you're already in the machine. So we're all in the machine.
If you're listening to this show, you're probably in the machine.
Yes. Okay. AI is already in the classroom. The classroom and the exam room, which actually is school and your doctor. So let's see. 60% of all teachers use AI, of course.
Did you see that Claude, sorry to interrupt you, Claude today released AI for teachers. Claude for teachers.
Which I saw that and immediately thought of the early days of Macintosh and Apple. Like, you're really smart to put it in the schools and let the schools get used to it, so you kind of get them under the brand already.
Yeah, if the students are going to use it, give the teachers a tool to help make their lives easier as well.
So 60% of all teachers use it. Of course they do. Doctors, 1 in 3 practices now use it for at least the ambient AI scribes, which is usually meaning there's a recording process in the room. It listens to what your doctor has said, your questions, and then it sends you that summary when you leave and, you know, go to the, after you've been to the office, it gives you a summary. So roughly, it does make sense to have those things. And the idea is it has gotten a lot better than it was a year ago. Everyone's worried about the hallucinations and the things that are missing. But I think the idea is it's a good way for you to, one, I don't like the fact that teachers probably will ding a student for AI use and not tell the students they're using AI as well. That's my only thing.
Well, my thing with the dinging the students on AI use is the tools to determine if someone is using AI are currently punishing good vocabulary.
Okay, explain.
All right. So I read this article that says if you use a large vocabulary that most people don't use, you're immediately detected as AI. So like the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
Is considered 100% AI. Mary Shelley's Frankenstein is considered 100% AI because they're using words that people don't like.
You're using them 25-cent words.
Yeah, like the multi-syllabic, you know, conversation is now AI.
Right. So if you speak in like Oxford English, it's going to say, "Whoa, hold on here."
Clearly, You're not smart enough to.
Interesting. No, well, here's the last thing, and I don't have a problem with this. Look, I was in advertising forever. Advertising needs to be automated. Advertising needs to give you facts and some connection to you. But like stupid graphics and things on Facebook, if it's being made by AI, Google is now telling you that it's AI. Now, that's Google different than Meta. But all I'm saying is I don't really care if you tell me AI is AI. Just give me the message. If it connects, it connects. But AI is the one thing I would say is great for advertising. I just don't care.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think you're right. I think the low-hanging fruit, most of,
yes.
And a lot of times you can tell if someone's made something with AI because, you know, it all looks very similar right now.
Advertising,
that's okay.
Yes. And also advertising is a speed bump in your life. And you're only recognizing it when you're already thinking about it already. So the idea is I really don't care about the automation on that.
Yep. Doesn't bother me at all. All right, let's take a break. When we come back on Beyond the Blockchain, we'll talk more about AI and how it's impacting your life.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back into Beyond the Blockchain. Say it every week, but we also should not be Beyond the Blockchain because we're way beyond the blockchain most days.
Again, we keep talking about changing the name, but that includes changing the bumper title, and I never got my name on it, and that's been quite a while, so you know, we're good.
Maybe we're
the blockchain's still a part of it.
It is. Maybe we're due for a reboot, but not yet. Maybe we'll see what 27 looks like. Back to I like that I can just say 27, and everybody knows what you... In 27, right. We'll take a look at it.
Yeah.
All right, segment two. What do we have going on today?
The end-all, be-all of all the things I hear about these days is the dreaded data, the AI data center. So here, here's a fight landing right up the road in Louisiana and Mobile County up in Calvert.
Yeah, so if you want to argue with somebody on Facebook, here are the details to help you.
Here's the details. Okay, so the giant warehouses that run all this AI... And this one's not a good guys versus bad guy story. I'm not making it that.
I wish it was.
These things, these data centers build schools and hire thousands of people, and they can nudge up your power bill. And honestly, nobody figures out who should pay for what. So we're going to do things the cable news won't do, actually weigh both sides.
Why would we want to do that, Johnny?
Well, God forbid we actually have, you know, a conversation of, oh, things we need or the way the world's going, and those things have a cost to it.
Turns out
things have a cost. So here's the facts. The AI everyone uses runs on giant data centers, and they're landing across the South, including Meta's massive buildup in Richland Parish, Louisiana, like the one up the road from us, at the proposed in Calvert.
They got a big one in
Birmingham.
Big one in across the river in from Memphis in North Mississippi now.
Again,
they're popping up.
They're huge. Residential power is up 36% since 2020, and that's not because of so much data center. It has to do with a lot of things. Data centers have added an estimated $25 billion to the public's electricity cost.
Okay, that's not great.
Okay, and but not all of that is AI. Weather and general rate hikes play into this too, so just stick with us here. So the benefits, right? 5,000 construction jobs just in Louisiana alone.
Okay.
There's 1,000 construction jobs, the one in Calvert. 500 permanent skilled jobs, high-paying jobs, by the way, once the center's open. 250 at the ones in Calvert. The tax base goes way up, okay, because it's going to start funding things like new schools, lower property taxes, even some affordable housing, because it's going to generate money, because this is going to be what everything's going to be running on, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, the water systems and the schools get kind of the water systems get a little out of skew here because it has to use a lot of water for cooling, but I do believe there's some I think down the road there'll be some more innovation for that.
Well, and also the amount of water being used needs to be put in perspective. It is using water, but at what rate compared to other things enjoy? We've talked about this on the show before.
Just look at what people are doing for their lawns.
One almond takes 60 gallons
of water. Again, it's easy.
One hamburger takes 300 gallons of water.
Again, it's easy to point your finger when you think they say how much gallons cost for something and you don't look at other apples to apples.
I think the question would be, what is more necessary, data centers or McDonald's, and who's burning more water? How many?
Right.
You get 300 gallons of water every time McDonald's sends a hamburger out the window.
Right. and most of it comes with two.
Right.
Because the one I get has two cheeseburgers.
Nobody's ordering one. Nobody's ordering one in hamburger at McDonald's.
Right. So we'll do it real quick. Here's the genuine cost. Higher bills shifted to the public. Peak strain, hot enough regulators forced backup generators. You got to have backup generators for this stuff.
Right.
Okay. Uneven payoff. Jobs and tax wins concentrate in metro counties. Rural areas can see negligible spillover. Yeah, I can see that. But also, there's areas that have these thousand construction jobs that never would see something like that ever again.
Well, I mean, look, it goes back to putting it in perspective of what does the data actually mean, right?
Yeah, okay. Like,
tell me like what I want, and we'll go through it next week on both power and water. Again, we'll take new numbers. Right? Because it was about a year ago when we started talking about what the water numbers actually mean.
Mm-hmm.
Let's next week take new numbers and look at some of these data centers that are actually being proposed.
So you're saying do more research to find specific amount of what is the water and the power usage for what we're doing.
For these ones right around us.
Okay.
Rather than take a national average. Let's see if we can figure out that Louisiana, Mississippi, Birmingham, and Calvert.
We can't do Calvert because it's still way too much of a proposal.
Right. Well, maybe we could look at the square footage.
Give us an estimate of use.
Yeah. Okay. And then next week we'll come back and say, every time you want to complain on Facebook, it's running through a data center that's burning this much water.
Okay.
So, does that make sense?
It does, because right now we're talking high level.
Right.
And the idea, and what we get into is all I see is, ooh, AI data center bad. And then you had a great thing before we started this segment was we need to quit saying the word AI data center. It's a data center. Right. They're already being used. It's just becoming much bigger because more systems are being put on it.
Right. Yes. Because of more things are migrating. Yeah. To these AI systems. But if you're on your phone scrolling the internet, anytime you touch the internet, the data has to run through a data center.
Yeah. It's a dam. It's a dam that makes everything work.
Yeah. So, you know, I think people are using this, and I can't remember which politician it was. It's been several, maybe. They say this AI data center, this anti-AI data center whole line of argument is largely being pushed by the Chinese.
Yeah, because they
don't want us to be able to build and compete with them.
Yes, and also competing industries that are feeling that they're getting pushed out, and so they will take that Chinese money. Look, it's that thing of you think you know the argument, and most of the time is you know the one side of the argument that's the loudest.
Yeah.
Again, when people are paying $50 million for an against campaign, a lot of times the pro side is not spending that kind of money.
Well, my question is, where does that $50 million come from?
Come from, yes.
And what outcome?
Yeah.
What's the purpose of the outcome they're looking for?
Well, we get conversations on social media sometimes when I advertise the show, and most of it is neutral or positive.
Mm-hmm.
But I will get, every once in a while, somebody that just starts ranting up and down about, you are talking about AI, which is going to destroy us all. I mean, it's so ridiculously off the chain ranty.
I mean, I think
and so wrong, as in your view is so skewed.
You know what's really wild?
It's so skewed.
You know what's really wild? And we can talk
as they're using a data center to tell me how I'm helping ruin the world.
All right. So this is for our AI producer that helps us, right? Because he listens to the transcripts.
That guy's awesome.
So one of the things, all right. So next week we'll talk about the true, you know, not just the cost, but what is that compared to of these data centers? The second thing I want to talk about is if we want to have a conversation about AI, let's have a conversation that we may be summoning a demon. And what is the likelihood of that?
Well,
because there are people theorizing AI is summoning a demon from another dimension.
Okay. Can I remind you of the CERN Hydron Collider was going to be end of all of us?
We've talked about this several times on the show.
And yes.
But, you know, if you want to start getting worried about, you know, think about something you should worry about, maybe that's what we should be worried about.
How I have grown up my whole life about this arrival of some antichrist.
sure.
When I was born,
life. It's been going on about 2,000 years.
A long time.
Yeah.
And boy, do I get a lot of things of where this antichrist is coming from. And it is the most, look, I don't think it's coming from O's and ones. I'm going to think it's going to be more supernatural. Just putting it out there.
Maybe.
And I don't know. First of all, I'm not smart enough to know what is good or even bad sometimes. I just don't know. and it's going to be well hidden. I get it. But look, the same people who are bitching about this use of the evolution of technology will be the first people that will also say, if they do get data centers not made, how come we can't get something in the area once they kiboshed the ability to have that need? So that point, I always say, yeah, you're going to be the first person that's telling me AI is the demon bringer is the first person a year from now will go, I can't believe we don't have AI tools. We live in, and I'm like, it's because of you, dude. And dudette. Yeah, the dudettes.
Yeah.
It's a lot of dudettes more than dudes usually around here that really know how to really complain.
What do they call a male Karen? Is I think it a Ken?
I just heard that. It's not Chad.
No, Chad's like a bro, dude.
Oh, I did just hear the dude name.
You know, like Giga Chad? Have you heard of that?
Was that like really?
It was like Super Chad.
I kind of get the feeling like that's kind of what we call yuppies, though. Like, like country club yuppies.
Yeah.
You know,
Giga Chads are just like real into
Darrens.
Darren.
I heard someone say, "Oh, that's not a Karen, that's a Darren."
Oh, it rhymes.
Which I hate because some people had a perfectly normal name now gets labeled with like. Because I know some Karens that are so not Karens.
I mean, imagine all those children that were born Adolf in 1930.
Oh man, so bad.
You turned 12, and now you know not so good anymore.
It would be interesting to go back and look at the popularity of the name Adolf after 1942.
Probably a steep drop off.
Yeah.
Except in parts of Argentina.
Yes. You know. Yes.
In the Space and Rocket Center.
Yes, very much so. But Stacey had to ask me about what about Argentina, and I'm like,
oh boy, here we go.
So there's a lot of this is not something that's hidden. You can look up.
Oh, it's pretty.
Just write up Argentina post World War II, and it pretty much is going to give you.
I mean, there are entire villages in Argentina that are only German and still speak German.
Well, again, look at the players on the Argentinian team. A lot of blonde hair and blue eyes.
Somebody said there were more Germans on the Argentinian team than the German team.
Well, again, it's Americans have a bunch of It's amazing to figure out our citizenship when your father was in the military and you're from Ghana, but you can kick a ball. But Argentina has a lot of, I think, homegrowns that they keep. But
yeah, quite the influx of Germans after about 1944. I don't know what caused it.
Yeah, me either.
It's hard to, really hard to
submarines
understand.
And other things that were able to get out of war-torn Europe.
They were like, how much gold can we put on this submarine without drowning everyone?
Let's see how many of my countrymen I can throw under the bus so I can get out of this country.
That's right.
And that's, our country just brought in thousands with Operation Paperclip.
Yeah, as long as you were a scientist.
Yeah.
If you were building rock. Look, the entirety of NASA is built on the back of Nazi scientists.
Yes, very much so.
I mean, Werner von Braun's got his name on the buildings.
Being literally the main dude. And I think Oppenheimer was as well.
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Well, it shows you how fast the world can change. Like, we start taking in these German scientists immediately. 80 years later, Japanese love America. We dropped two atomic bombs on them. They love America. They had the biggest celebration of America 250 anywhere in the world outside the U.S.
So Japan is one of the only true post-war rebuilds that we could say was a success. The rebuild of Europe, the Marshall Plan, not so great. But nothing like the MacArthur Plan.
After we lost to Belgium the other day, I saw somebody tweeted, can we get our Marshall Plan money back now?
People are like, what is that? Read a book, man. Just ask your AI. About that? Ask all right, so real AI. Quick, let's go back to the data center thing.
Of course.
All right, look, the data centers are not monsters and they're not miracles. They are our new neighbors. Okay, one that pays a lot of taxes, hopefully will pay a lot of taxes. They will work a lot of people into what they do. They may run the AC a lot harder than you want them to, but like any neighbor, it comes down to who is splitting the bill. And I hope we have, which I can't believe I'm saying this because you know I don't believe it exists, we have smart leaders who know how to do things that are pragmatic and fair, which I will say they're usually pretty terrible.
All right. That reminds me. We've got just a minute before the end of the segment, and it reminds me of something
a minute.
I read about Lindsey Graham today. The best thing about Lindsey Graham, as somebody said, was when he started in Congress, he said he went to Washington trying to figure out who the they were. Who are the they that are in charge? He said, there's no they. Nobody knows what they're doing. So I went to the Senate and I found out there was still no they. There's no they. Nobody knows what they're doing. So then I started getting invited to the White House and I thought, surely this is where people know what they're doing. And he goes, and after years in the government, I figured out there is no they. There's only we, and we have no idea what the F we're doing. All right, folks, that's it for the segment. We'll see you back here on the other side on Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain here for the second half of the show. We've talked a little bit about, data centers, the news. We've talked about, we've made you a promise that next week we're going to give you more data.
Mm-hmm. On the data centers.
More data on the data
centers. And I'm using AI, so that means we're messing up somebody else's community.
This is very meta.
It's very meta. All of this is meta.
Yeah.
Every time we talk about something, we can wrap it back into the show as made with AI help, even though we are not AI voices anymore.
No, we're not.
I would do summaries.
Yeah. But we are still very much humans.
At this point, we have a hybrid.
Yeah.
No. Do we have a hybrid? No. We're all human.
We have we have an AI producer.
Right. We have the ADOT. We have the AI BTBC. Is that right? Beyond the, yes. Yeah, BTBC.
BTBC producer.
Radio producer helps us to curate the stories, write some of the dialogue, but not the scripts.
What I think he's best at is helping us follow up on the... Of course it is.
Yeah.
We need women in our lives to keep us straight. What I like that she does best is she reads the transcript.
Yes.
And follows up on what we said we were going to talk about.
Correct.
And where we didn't, because we're both so ADD that like...
Right.
We'll say, oh, and now we're going to talk about, and then we don't.
Well,
we just go off on whatever.
The first segment had 4 news bite stories and we could not get to the last one, and it's going to say, you didn't get to the 4th story again. Well, we have realized that we used to try 4 stories.
Maybe she needs to understand that we only need 3 stories.
Well, I think that's what I'm going to say. Because then, I send you, remember, you like this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I put the transcript in. It reads the transcript based on the show notes.
Yes.
And the curated stories. And then it shows what we did and what we didn't do. And then it gives feedback of what she thinks hit and what got missed.
Right.
So we get critiques of...
We get scored.
You missed the best part. And it will say, Scott hit it and Johnny missed the best part. Next time you got to make sure not to talk too much about those movies and talk about you've missed the whole point.
Right.
And so that is pretty good though, because we are getting feedback.
Yeah, we're getting graded every week.
Yeah. Because also we don't have listeners that are giving us feedback. And if I get feedback from people who listen, it's usually family and friends, and they're not blunt enough. And I'm like, guys, it helps us.
Yeah.
When you're blunt.
That's true.
But look, I do love the feedback too. I like to read it.
I think it's nice.
It helps me, which is really great for the podcast that I produce because I will run the transcripts through them as well and then help the host by giving them of things your hosts need to be working on, things that I need. By the way, it's also reviewing my editing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting a lot of things too. So I always say, wait a minute, because we're getting this critique, it is going through my filter as well. So I either agree with it or don't agree with it.
Yep.
But it helps me make a nice report. And then I'm saying, just because it's critiquing you, it's also critiquing me. So don't think we're in the same boat. We're in the same boat here.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I think that's part of what makes this show so fun. We're on the back half of the show. A lot of times in this segment, we talk about what we're building right now. Johnny, I know off air you were telling me about how you're using AI to, start to build out more of your financial acumen. You know, we've talked about the trading that
you do. Yes, I work on personal trading, and while I'm not making money very well, I mean, I'm holding my own, put it that way.
Sure.
But it's also been a weird
So you're not retiring from the show just yet.
I killed it like March, April, May. I did so amazing. And then just June and July has been flat, man, super flat for what I've been trading.
Sure.
But again, a part of it was me learning how to trade.
Right.
And I will say I've gotten really good at understanding at least what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So while I've lost a couple hundred dollars, I'll call that tuition.
I like it.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a great way of looking at it.
Yeah.
And you still own the assets.
So, no, not always, because I use a stop on quote.
Okay.
So I do, but it has to do we have a system in place where if at a certain point, that's the point of pain that but it's all set up on buys, sometimes a limit buy, uh-huh. like moving up or towards a entry point, but I always have a certain
stop loss.
Yeah.
Well, you were also telling me about something I think a lot of our listeners will find interesting, was you're using AI to help get your books ready for your accountant.
Yes.
Basically, you can explain it, but basically streamlining this thing, giving it to the accountant and saying, hey, here are the things you need to take a look at.
Yes.
And basically being able to take a substantial amount of work away that accountant would have to do. You can basically just put the ball on the tee for them and say, now you be the accountant and do your accounting job without having to do all this background work.
Okay,
right?
So I'm really good at tracking the money, invoicing it out, mm-hmm. and accounts receivable getting it in. So it's in there properly.
Right.
But then I've got multiple different financial institutions that go into my billing system.
Understand.
And the billing system is so bloated. Like I don't understand any of it other than make an invoice, send the invoice, get paid back, and then make sure you put that you got the money.
Yeah, reconcile.
But then you get the whole thing of reconciling all these banks, reconciling all this stuff, and then you get in the idea of categorizing an expense. It's too much for a minute brain, a tiny brain like mine.
Yeah.
So I know it's not right. Mm-hmm. It's good enough, put it that way. But I don't want good enough. I want to know, you know, kind of thing. So I hooked my AI together with one of my systems, and now it can read it.
Yeah.
Can't write it, but they can read it, which is great. And so now I'm taking statements, bank statements, putting it in, and it is reconciling it, but not touching my accounting system because I'm scared to click something.
Right.
Right? So what I'm doing is creating dossiers and reports in the language of my CPA.
Yep.
So that now I'm, like you said, teed it up for him to say, I found the $23,000. By the way, that $23,000 is not missing. Mm-hmm. It's paperwork.
Yeah.
Right? It's processed in paperwork.
Yeah.
So now I'm saying, instead of him being the detective, he's the fixer.
Right.
So let's just say he's $150 an hour, which he's probably more than that. Because I should be having a bookkeeper, not a CPA, but that's my next thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to get my books okay, not only for my taxes, but also for this year and next year for when I bring on a bookkeeper.
Right.
All right. I took that 10 hours of his time and now took away 9 hours of detective work, and now he's fixing it. So think of the money that I saved by doing that. And now I'm trying to create processes to where now show me how not to get back in the situation again, and then asking him, what documents do you need?
Right.
So now it's a collaboration of, you tell me what you need and I know I can make it.
Right.
And that's a huge thing for me, because there's dread where I'm waiting to go, I don't want to deal with this. It's going to be so wrong. It's not going to be right. I'm just making up numbers.
Sure.
Well, now I'm like, at least I've got a compass to say what's going on backwards.
A compass, that's a great analogy, is a compass.
Yeah, it's not perfect. I'm sorry. I mean, I've got a tiny company too. I can't imagine if you are getting in thousands of pay channels a month. I just can't imagine how it's done. Well, I know how to manage. There's a room of accountants that you're paying for. Well, I don't have that luxury. Mm-hmm. So I will tell you, I've been using that to help me get my business to make sense so that I can tell my CPA where at least he should start looking for where the problem is.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And like I said, I think a lot of our listeners will relate to that, because small business owners all deal with some of the same issues.
Oh, my God. And it's so difficult. And if I touch something on QuickBooks, it screws up 3 years of data. And that's what I'm scared about.
Did you see the guy that had his entire repo deleted? his entire database.
I'm not shocked. I've done that recently where I lost like years of data. Thank God I didn't need it.
Yeah.
For something else, and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even know how I lost all that data.
Or where does it go?
Where does it go? Yeah.
All right, so I'm really excited about Beyond the Blockchain. I'm going to tease it a little bit because it's a little deeper than what we normally get into.
And yet, no aliens, no Bigfoot,
not this week.
No Egypt pyramids.
But maybe it's something similar. Maybe there's this hidden knowledge that's always been in the world, and people have just figured out how to extract it.
Is it the secret?
It kind of, you know.
Remember that book? That book sold a lot of copies, dude.
The secret was you can make a lot of money. By giving people what they want.
Which I think was the law of magnetism.
Yeah, it's basically it.
Yes.
That guy manifested money by telling them to manifest money.
And you know who made a lot of money? They did.
They. That's right. They sure did. All right, so no aliens tonight, but it's something stranger, all right? So on the back half of the show, we're going to talk about a secret formula that's not really a secret because it's been sitting in public libraries since 1956. And it lets people beat the casino, beat Wall Street, and see fraud coming years before anybody else. Almost nobody's read it. One man did. He's 93, still alive, and his story might be the best kept secret in America.
Bow, bow, bow.
When we come back on Beyond the Blockchain.
Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain, live with you on a Tuesday night on FM Talk 106.5. Maybe people are saying it's the best AI radio show on terrestrial radio in America.
Asterisk, it might be the only one.
Well, that's not the point.
So factually, it is the best.
It is probably the best. If there's another one, we're probably second.
Right, because the tech shows that I hear are like How to Use Your iPhone, which is, they have huge numbers.
Oh, yeah. We're doing this wrong.
I heard one recently over the weekend where people are still buying digital cameras. I'm like, who the hell is buying a digital camera?
There's a return to digital cameras.
Yeah.
The kids.
Is there a return back to
Polaroids?
Film camera. I know the Polaroids. Yeah. I love my little Polaroid.
Yeah.
All right, but I digress. Go back, please, to the Beyond
segment. All right, tonight. Some people are going to be disappointed.
I'm just very disappointed.
Some people are going to be happy there's no aliens.
This Beyond is way too practical compared to our other stories.
But just as weird, I think.
Because it's in plain sight.
Right. All right. So tonight, no aliens, something stranger. A formula that's been sitting free in a library since 1956. Read it and you can beat the casino. Beat Wall Street. See a fraud coming 17 years before the government does. Almost nobody has read it. One of the men who did is 93 and still alive. His name is Ed Thorpe. Give it up for Ed Thorpe.
Ed Thorpe.
Yes, sir. All right.
Okay, I will give the first thing.
Tell us more about Ed Thorpe.
Ed Thorpe, the kid who broke blackjack. Late 1950s, he's a math professor.
Okay? Of course he is.
And he, of course he is. With math, he proves that the house can be beaten and writes this again, in the 50s, writes a computer, which I guess he's using punch cards, beat the dealer. So effective, the casinos changed the rules of blackjack because of one. Oh, with a pencil. He did it with a pencil. So it's powerful, only changes the rules when someone actually cracked the code. So he literally was doing it in his head, the mathematics.
Yeah.
And the casinos changed their, I'm sure it was what they hit on and not hit on.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Because he beat it by the math. Beat the dealer.
What a dude.
Thorpe teams with a guy named Claude. How about that? Shannon at MIT. Father of information theory.
You know, we should do some research. We should AI producer do some research.
Yes.
That seems way too coincidental.
No. So what you gave me about this, AI did fact checking already and fixed the facts.
Oh, even better.
Yes.
All right.
So father of information theory, 1960-61. Okay. They built the world's first wearable computer.
No kidding.
I saw a thing on Beating the Casino about this. I didn't know this was who this was.
Okay.
12 transistors in a cigarette pack size, hidden in a shoe to beat roulette. It worked. They got scared of getting caught, so they buried it. Okay. What they would do is, whatever it hit on,
yeah,
they would click their foot. And when they clicked the foot, the transistor would send a signal to one of the guys up in the hotel, and they would start doing the idea of copying the numbers. What's hitting at what time of day? Because it had to do with balance and everything. Yeah. And that's what it was. And I actually saw that. But yeah, it's pretty wild that one of the first guys was named Claude.
Okay. Interesting.
So that's a lot. That's beating the casino.
And people like that.
Okay, so the secret inside the secret. Okay, this is John Kelly. This is one of their, I guess, one of their cohorts. 1956 paper, the Kelly Criterion, tells you the mathematically perfect bet when you have an edge. The twist, bet the perfect amount, and the math says you'll still eventually get wiped out by the swings.
Right.
I don't quite understand that.
All right, so what they're saying is, so here's where this is going. The Kelly theorem, Kelly criterion.
Okay.
Gave you the perfect odds, but you can only ride that until so long. And then at some point,
and the swing's going to get you.
You're going to get you.
Yeah.
What Thorpe found out was if you take the Kelly criterion and divide it by half,
yes,
you still get the same gains without the wipeout.
Okay. So it says Thorpe's one addition, bet half.
Yeah.
A half Kelly gives you a sliver of an upside to survive the storms that ruins everybody else.
Yep.
The edge was never the secret. Everybody chases the edge. The sizing was the secret half, which is what I'm learning with
your
my
stuff.
Trader.
So maybe you should ask your trader to incorporate the Kelly criterion into
your
decisions.
It never explains to me why it keeps giving me these numbers where I'm like, tell me why you're picking this
right.
amount. And it will say, and I'm like, so now I'm going to say, is this the Kelly?
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Run this through the Kelly criterion.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. This is like the prognosticator stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the Nostradamus stuff. So after an evening of bridge, this Thorpe guy met a little known investor, and Thorpe tells his wife, that man will be the richest man in America. And it was in this Thorpe guy's memoir, A Man for All Markets, which was Buffett.
Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett. He was right. But 60 years for anybody else, he recognized the pattern of steady, disciplined compounding before there was a pattern. My goodness.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Why is there not
a movie on this dude?
Right?
Maybe he's Rain Man.
maybe it's Rain Man. Yeah. Maybe we should make one.
We could. Oh, okay. Again, this is another biggie.
Oh, yeah. I like this one a lot.
Okay. A firm hires Thorpe to vet a hot manager named Bernie Madoff.
Bernie Madoff.
He cracks it in less than a day. Okay. Thorpe tells his overlords, this dude is full of garbage. Something is up. And he actually tells his clients that he knows is under Madoff, get out now. So he got that 17 years before the collapse of Madoff. What gets me is everybody had the information and nobody did a darn thing to stop
Madoff. Well, what's even great about Thorpe is he turned the information over to the SEC. And they didn't even
look
into it.
Yeah, it sat on the SEC desk for 17 years.
Yeah.
Sounds to me like a cabal, maybe?
Jackals.
All jackals. So look, man, AI, I don't have the mathematics skills.
Right.
With all. I can barely do long division. Right? First of all, why would I need to do
that? Why would you need to anymore?
But
it's not like you're going to have a calculator
AI
in your pocket everywhere you go,
John.
It
allows me to understand. I do understand the concepts.
Yeah.
And then I can say, hey, how does chaos theory help me with this? Or how does Kelly's
criterion
help me? Mm-hmm. So the idea is at least knowing what some of these theorems are and how does it help me in doing the things that I want the outcome for.
When it goes back to you have to have the information to be able to ask the AI correctly.
Yes.
Like if you don't prompt the AI and tell it, hey, let's incorporate Kelly's criterion into this,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to just randomly think to include that. Maybe eventually it will. You know, maybe by the, I say eventually, it could be the end of the year. I don't know, as fast as some of this fable and some of these others are moving. But so this is back to gambling. There's some great gambling movies. We only got just
Yeah, there are some great, I've got a couple of them
right.
here.
It reminds me of some of these. Go ahead.
2008, it was the MIT blackjack team that broke
the casinos.
Broke the casino. And they say literally descendants of Thorpe's carb counting system.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's a great book.
Rain Man, of course, we brought that up. The Imitation Game, I don't know if I know that one.
All right, Imitation Game, I believe, is the one where... Oh, I don't know. We'll have to look it up next week.
Okay. Well, again, homework, Imitation Game. And of course, Michael Burry.
Yeah.
Michael Burry, which is The Big Short, which he saw the secret was in plain sight. Nobody wanted to look at
it. The housing collapse is coming.
And his thing was like, look how many people are not paying their cars. Remember all that stuff, all these things that people just.
All right. That's how we're going to end the show today. We'll see you next week on Beyond the Blockchain.
See you, everybody.